You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show on Indy's Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports.
Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. It is currently 7:57 a.m. here in Indianapolis, Indiana, on this February 26th of Monday morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited to be back on the show. We have a lot of racing news to discuss, but Mr. Penrod, Hank Williams Jr., a.k.a. Jeremiah Penrod, is not in the studio with me this morning, but that's okay because, you know, we have Don Wilson on the line, ladies and gentlemen, a.k.a. Uncle Don is on the line to talk about some racing news. How are you doing, Uncle Don?
I'm burning up.
Hey, burning up, huh?
Indiana.
Well, we have Don Wilson on the line to discuss some NASCAR, IndyCar, and Formula One news on the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. We had some technical difficulties to start this morning off, but we're here now. Everything is all good. So, first news we are going to discuss was the third closest finish in NASCAR history. NASCAR history, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday, Daniel Suarez, Kyle Busch, and Ryan Blaney battling to the line. It's like that scene in Cars where you had the King, Chick Hicks, and Lightning McQueen cross the line, and it's a photo finish. It's a three-way tie. Well, unbelievable. What a race if you did not tune in to watch the NASCAR Cup Series race at Atlanta Motor Speedway, the new track configuration. Uncle Don, what are your thoughts on this new track configuration at Atlanta Motor Speedway?
Well, you can't deny that the close to racing that it's brought. It's like a mini Daytona or Talladega.
Are you a fan of Atlanta being a restrictor plate, or were you more of a fan of the old configuration? It's still a mile, and was it, I'm not sure what the old configuration was. I know it's a mile and a half now. I know that the straightaways were longer. They hadn't repaved the track since the 1990s, and a lot of drivers really enjoyed slipping and sliding, finding grip on the racetrack, especially Kevin Harvick. A lot of the veteran drivers really enjoyed that. But my question is, are you more of a fan of this new configuration or the old configuration?
I like the new configuration because it just shows a lot more action.
Good deal. Yeah, it was a pretty amazing race.
A lot more side by side.
Yeah,
with the stage racing, it's like three races separately.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
And pit road speed law rules that were
confusing. Yeah, that's got to change. That has to change.
But you can't have two different speeds. You know, one for green flag stops, and then a different speed for yellow.
Yep.
Pit stop.
Agreed. Agreed. We'll discuss more of that. I'd like to get our legal ID, and you are listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. Currently 8 o'clock a.m. on this Monday of February 26th, you are listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. Wow. This race was so unbelievable. I mean, Daniel Suarez coming out with the win. No one expected him to win at Atlanta on Sunday. I believe he had like 3,500 odds to win. Uncle Don, what are your thoughts? Should people be counting out Daniel Suarez, or He shouldn't have 3,500 odds. What are your thoughts on just the odds against Daniel Suarez and NASCAR in general?
I think on any restrictor plate race, just about anybody out there can win.
That's true.
Know, depending on the track.
And, I mean, he's driving for Trackhouse. He has great equipment. Both cars are very competitive. Ross Chastain was competitive at Atlanta, was up at the front. I mean, he about won the Daytona 500 last Monday, made a move, and he went for it and spun out trying for it and going for it. And, I mean, Daniel Suarez was also competitive in the Daytona 500, and he picked up the win in Atlanta. I mean, that race was insane. Absolutely insane.
Well, I think their owner, Pitbull,
yeah,
has a lot to do with it. I think he just tells those guys to go out and go for it.
Exactly. Exactly. Mr. 305 Pitbull. But, wow. It was Daniel Suarez's second career win in the NASCAR Cup Series. And it was a mere 0.003 seconds separating Daniel Suarez from Ryan Blaney. And it was .007 seconds separating Daniel Suarez from Kyle Busch.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. Just how close of a finish that is.
And nobody had anybody pushing him.
No, that is true. I mean, that race was extremely exciting if you didn't watch it. I'm just going to go over kind of how this whole photo finish, you know, how that kind of started and resulted from a few moves during the race and those closing laps. I'm just going to go on here from CBSSports.com, their NASCAR page. At the white flag, Ryan Blaney was in the lead, and he was blocking, made some aggressive blocks. He was fine and turns one and two, and Kyle Busch gets a run. He from help from Bubba Wallace. Bump drafts him, gets a run from that, from the draft, and he went for it. Kyle Busch went for it, creates a hole to try to pass Ryan Blaney, and then he has Daniel Suarez on the top side. And at Atlanta, in this new configuration, the high line seems to always prevail. It is the preferred line around that racetrack. And coming to the line, Kyle Busch tried to make a move. I was like, go, Kyle Busch, go, go, go. I was cheering him on because, you know, ever since his move to Richard Childress Racing, I became a Kyle Busch fan. And, you know, Richard Childress hasn't had this good of a driver and this type of, you know, the closest thing to Dale Earnhardt Sr. since Kyle Busch now.
And since Kevin Harvick.
Yeah, and really? Kevin Harvick as well, which I love Kevin. I love Kevin Harvick. He's one of my favorite NASCAR drivers of all time. But, you know, Richard Childress Racing hasn't had this good of a driver since Kevin Harvick or Dale Earnhardt Sr. And I think in today's NASCAR, Kyle Busch is the closest thing you're going to get to Dale Earnhardt Sr., the closest driver in NASCAR to Dale Earnhardt Sr.
I agree.
With,
and I thought he was going to pull it off too. But
yeah.
I agree. Goodbye.
With two championships, over 200 wins in all three national NASCAR series, he's the closest thing. And I was cheering for him in the Daytona 500. I was like, go Kyle Busch. I wanted him to win because, you know, if he would have won the Daytona 500, had been his 20th try trying to win the Daytona 500. And Dale Earnhardt Sr. and him would have had something in common. It's coming. Kyle Busch is going to win the Daytona 500. And that car's got speed on restrictor plates. He's not the greatest plate racer, but, I mean, he's always competitive. It's just the wins. I mean, he's a great plate racer. It's just the wins aren't showing up. That's the only issue.
Right.
It's just the wins don't back it up, but he's always fast. I mean, I don't even know how many top tens, how many wins he has all across all three national NASCAR series. He just hasn't had the success at restrictor plate tracks.
His early driving techniques, like he said yesterday during one of the red flags, he said, you know, you need a friend out there, and he said he didn't think he had any.
I mean, you're coming down to those final laps. You have your Chevrolet, and you have a Toyota behind you. He's not gonna work with you. I'm sorry, it's not gonna happen. because of that whole manufacturer alliance. And, you know, Bubba Wallace, I mean, he got a run from Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace got a run from whoever was behind him. He pushed Kyle Busch, and he didn't really have anyone else to really work with. And you're coming down the line, and between Ryan Blaney, Daniel Suarez, and Kyle Busch, and you're gassing it up, and you're giving it everything, but that just that high line always prevails at Atlanta with this new configuration. And Kyle Busch even talked about it. The high line is just the most preferred line around the racetrack.
Well, you can hold your speed a lot better on the outside, even though it is farther.
Yeah.
If you get two or three cars together up there, and there's no way the guys on the lower got to, you know, they're not going to go around that corner as fast as the guys on the high line.
Exactly. Exactly. But, wow, what a photo finish that was. Here was the top 10 from the NASCAR Cup Series race at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Daniel Suarez picking up his second career win in the NASCAR Cup Series. Second, Ryan Blaney. Third, Kyle Busch. Fourth, Austin Cindric. Fifth, Bo Wallace Jr. Sixth, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Seventh, Ross Chastain. Eighth, Michael McDowell. Ninth, Chris Buescher. And 10th, Ty Gibbs. Trackhouse Racing with two cars in the top 10. That's a great result for that team. And Daniel Suarez last season had a very disappointing season. It was a very, very disappointing and sad season for Daniel Suarez because you see your teammate Ross Chastain, he's winning races. He's up at the front, up in the mix. And I honestly say that Trackhouse Racing in their sophomore season, there wasn't their sophomore season, actually. It was their junior season, the NASCAR Cup Series, really had a down year. And now they're coming to their senior campaign. If this was referred to high school, their fourth year, this is their, you know, senior year in high school as a NASCAR team. And Daniel Suarez, you know, kicking things off for Trackhouse Racing, picking up his second career win. And after last season, that's what Daniel Suarez needs to rebound and get Trackhouse Racing to the promised land. Because I know, I have a feeling that Trackhouse Racing can win a NASCAR Cup Series championship with the drivers they have in Ross Chastain and Daniel Suarez. Last season wasn't a great season for Daniel Suarez. It was very inconsistent. He didn't even make the playoffs. The year before that, he won his first NASCAR Cup Series race at Sonoma Raceway, and Trackhouse was pretty good. Last season, they were good. They weren't as good as they were the season before. I mean, Ross Chastain, he picked up two wins. And the season before that, he earned, I'm trying to think how many wins he had the season before that. I believe he had two wins as well. So, I mean, Uncle Don, what are your thoughts?
Well, as far as they made some wholesale changes, and you got a new pit crew chief.
Yeah, they did make a change on that team with a new crew chief. Travis Mack is not Daniel Suarez's crew chief anymore. He's a crew chief at Colleague Racing.
It seemed to help Suarez in both races so far this year.
Yeah, that new crew chief change, yep. Even Suarez talked about having a new crew chief, that it's definitely changed a lot, and they've really bonded. And, you know, he picked up his second win, and we're only in the second race of the season. I'm not saying that Daniel Suarez is going to go on this tear and, you know, win, you know, a bunch of races. I think he could be, you know, a 2-3-time winner this season. I'm not going to put him in the same category as Joey Logano or Kyle Busch or Denny Hamlin contending for a NASCAR Cup Series championship.
These new bodies, these new cars take quite a bit of use. I hate to see so many cars get tore up yesterday.
Oh, we'll definitely discuss that, Uncle Don. we're gonna get right into that. But I'd also like to mention that Michael McDowell earned his first NASCAR Cup Series pole position at Atlanta Motor Speedway with Front Row Motorsports in his 467th start in the NASCAR Cup Series, and he finished 8th at Atlanta Motor Speedway yesterday. Uncle Don, if Michael McDowell didn't get involved with William Byron coming to pit road and him spinning out, getting into William Byron and them crashing, I believe Michael McDowell had the best car in that field yesterday.
There's two or three there. You know, Blaney was good all day. He was the top five all day.
Yeah. But, I mean, they talked about, if you're watching the broadcast on Fox, about, you know, drivers wanting more downforce, drivers wanting less downforce, wanting, you know, more trim on their spoiler, less trim, which Michael McDowell went for less trim. That's why he qualified on pole position. But, I mean, with the less trim, that car was so fast, Uncle Don. That car was, I mean, if he didn't get involved in that crash, I think Michael McDowell would have had a shot to win at Atlanta yesterday. I mean, I know he finished eighth, but that, I mean, it's just that car was that fast.
Yeah, it was easy. An easy top five, anyway.
Yeah.
If the manufacturers didn't get aligned at the, you know, the last eight lap dash, you know, they couldn't get aligned with manufacturers because half of them were not out there. There's only six cars finished yesterday. Weren't in the record.
Yeah, there are a bunch of cars that crashed out in that race. But Michael McDowell had speed in the Daytona 500, speed in qualifying. He qualified on the front row with Joey Logano, which Joey Logano, and he crashed out both races, and he was competitive. Both races so far this season, the Daytona 500, he had the best car. There's no doubt he had the best car in that race. That car out front was dominant. He said that's the best car he's ever had in the Daytona 500. That car was fast. 10 laps to go, all the best cars in the field crash out in the Daytona 500. And then it's like this at Atlanta. All the good cars crashed out in this race.
Well, I think that, you know, some of these younger drivers, especially with the, like I said, the solid bodies that they got, they'll take a beating. They're driving a lot more aggressively.
Exactly. But, I mean, Chris Buescher, he had a really fast race car. I mean, he got involved with that Joey Logano crash when Joey Logano, his car washed up the track, got too tight, and ran right up the track, and Chris Buescher had nowhere to go. And also involved in that crash was Denny Hamlin as well. And he, after that crash, I think that car seemed to be doing a lot better for some reason. The damage helped the car go faster. And that's what they're talking about on the broadcast on Fox and on the Performance Racing Network, that, I mean, Denny Hamlin was flying with that damage to that car. I mean, he is a three-time Daytona 500 champion, but still.
Well, in the old days, they used to tie the bumpers on with the zip ties and hope they fell off because that increased their speed so much.
Uncle Don, I have a question to ask you.
Yes.
Do you think that Front Row Motorsports and Michael McDowell win a race this season?
Yes.
My question is it going to come on a road course like at the Brickyard last season where, I mean, he's a road course ace. You think it's going to come on a super speedway? He's great on super speedways. Or do you think this season with Front Row Motorsports alliance with Penske is Front Row Motorsports going to be competitive all season long?
Yes, with that kind of equipment.
Okay.
But next week will show you really what they've got.
Yeah, exactly what everyone has. Right. They're heading to, yep. Well, we're going to get into
that.
You can go talk. Ahead. Okay.
No, I was just going to say, you only have, four super speedway races.
Yeah.
It's got to be good on flat miles.
Yeah, and the only super speedway races there are, you have the two races at Daytona National Speedway, the two races at
Talladega,
and then you have the second race at Atlanta. So
that second race at Atlanta will be sold out.
Yeah, that, I mean, for that photo finish, all on my Instagram feed yesterday, it was after that photo finish at Atlanta Motor Speedway was the scene in Cars 1 where Lightning McQueen, Chick Hicks, and the King are all, you know, crossing the line, and Lightning McQueen's using his tongue to edge Chick Hicks and the King out to try to win the Piston Cup, become the first rookie to win the Piston Cup, and they finish in a three-way tie. That was my that was my Instagram feed was all about. And I'm like, that is hilarious.
That's all Blaney needed was a longer tongue.
Yeah, man, Blaney, he had a fast race car too.
And he's originally from the Midwest.
Yeah.
His dad and his uncle both raced all across the Midwest in sprint cars.
Yep. Moving on, the NASCAR Xfinity Series race at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Austin Hill is absolutely killing it in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. To start the 2024 season, them and Richard Childress Racing and Jesse Love, they've got themselves a team. Second was Chandler Smith. Third was Shane Van Gisbergen with Colleague Racing. And Shane Van Gisbergen, look out, ladies and gentlemen. Uncle Don, I think people need to watch out for Shane Van Gisbergen when he gets hot, because he just finished third on a restrictor plate. I mean, I know it's not a lot, but going from driving rally cars to finishing in the top five in your second ever NASCAR Xfinity Series race, that's a pretty big deal.
He's pretty impressive.
Yep. So teams better watch out, because I think he can really get hot if he just keeps putting in the work and the time and effort. He can really become good at this NASCAR stuff. He's also been making a ton of, I believe he's going to make it some more, trying to think what else he's going to be doing. I know he's going to make some Craftsman Truck Series debuts. I think he's going to make a couple ARCA debuts as well this season. So there's a lot of NASCAR racing for Shane Van Gisbergen. Fourth was Sheldon Creed. Fifth, Parker Retzlaff. Sixth, Jeremy Clements. Seventh, Anthony Alfredo. Eighth, Jeffrey Earnhardt. Ninth, Ryan Truex. And 10th, Sammy Smith. That is your top 10 for the NASCAR Xfinity Series race at Atlanta. But Uncle Don, what are your thoughts on Austin Hill? I mean, just what are your thoughts?
I think he's, top. Well, I think he can win the Xfinity.
You think he's a, that's what I was going to ask. You think he's a championship threat this season?
Yes.
I mean, he was last season, and if it wasn't for that incident with his teammate at the time, Sheldon Creed, Austin Hill would have made the championship four at Phoenix Raceway if he didn't get absolutely demolished by it was just hard racing between Sheldon Creed and him, but he would have made the championship four at Phoenix Raceway if that didn't happen at Martinsville. So,
what about the penalties yesterday?
Oh, yeah, those were, I forgot to touch on all the penalties. There was a ton of penalties. We'll cycle back to that. But Austin Hill is the first driver in the NASCAR Xfinity Series since Tony Stewart in 2008 to win the first two races of the NASCAR Xfinity Series season. And also, this is a crazy statistic, Uncle Don. This was Austin Hill's third win at Atlanta Motor Speedway in the last four races at Atlanta.
That is amazing.
75% accuracy for Austin Hill at Atlanta Motor Speedway. And that's also his home race. That's his home race is at Atlanta Motor Speedway. And he knows how to get it done at these restrictor plate tracks. I mean, he proved it at Daytona National Speedway last weekend, and he even had damage to that car, and he still won the race.
Yes.
And that race was chaos like the Daytona 500 with all the crashes. It was unbelievable. I mean, just restrictor plate racing, it's insane. And Austin Hill picked up his eighth win in the NASCAR Xfinity Series on Saturday. But Austin Hill wasn't the guy to talk about all race long. It was newcomer, 18-year-old, Uncle Don, I think this driver right here I'm about to talk about can be the next superstar in the NASCAR Cup Series. I just have that faith. I have that feeling about him. I mean, when you win half of the ARCA Menards Series season and the championship, so 10 out of 20 races, and you're 18 years old, you're getting moved up to the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and you sweep both stages, and you lead the most laps in the entire race, 157 laps led by Jesse Love on Saturday. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and he's only,
19 years old.
Right. And ARCA's not an easy one. You know, ARCA's only got maybe four or five cars that actually are competitive.
Yeah, truly competitive for the championship. Agreed.
Whereas in Cup, you got about 10 or 12.
But, I mean, Uncle Don, this kid is 18 to 19 years old. It's just 157 laps led, and you win both stages. And he was competitive at Daytona. He would have probably won. I mean, either Austin Hill or Jesse Love would have won at Daytona International Speedway last Monday. Either one of those drivers. Jesse Love, after the first stage was over, he won that stage. He got involved in a crash, and he came back to finish second. And
who does he drive for?
Richard Childress Racing.
Okay.
Childress
probably signed for Cup.
I'm not sure about that, but I know that Richard Childress Racing has got themselves a future with Austin Hill and Jesse Love in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And I'm not sure what's going to happen in the NASCAR Cup Series because they only have two full-time drivers and Kyle Busch, and you're not going to get rid of Kyle Busch. That's not going to happen. You paid him a bunch of money, and he's a two-time champion. He's won over 200 races in the NASCAR's three national series, and you're not going to do that. You're not. That's not going to happen.
No, but they can always add another car.
They can always. That's what I was going to get to. I mean, you're not going to get rid of Austin Dillon. I know Austin Dillon hasn't been performing well as of late. Last season wasn't a great season, and I believe the season before that, he had that win at Daytona National Speedway in the summer race, but all the cars kind of crashed due to rain. So that race was kind of given to him. It kind of fell into his lap.
It was a miserable weekend.
Yeah, but do you think that Richard Childress Racing is, if Jesse Love has success or Austin Hill continues to have success, is Richard Childress Racing going to make a third car or a fourth car or add those two cars to their NASCAR Cup Series team?
Everybody thought that Childress is, you know, kind of washed up, but he's got either getting more help from Chevrolet or, and he's also supplying, you know, motors and to several other teams.
I believe in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, you have Colleague Racing, which has had a bunch of success in the NASCAR Xfinity Series season due to that help with Richard Childress Racing. The Big Machine Racing with Parker Kligerman in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, they are supplied by, I believe, that alliance, like their engines with Richard Childress Racing. There's a couple more teams that I'm failing to mention. The NASCAR Cup Series, I believe, you have that relationship with Trackhouse. I'm pretty sure Trackhouse is still with Richard Childress Racing, the NASCAR Cup Series. And I'm hopefully I'm not blanking here.
I know that in the NASCAR Cup Series that Hendrick Motorsports and Spire have their alliance, but I believe Spire might have alliance with Hendrick Motorsports. Now, I'm not 100% sure. I know that in the NASCAR Xfinity Series for sure that Richard Childress Racing supplies a lot of engines to multiple teams in the NASCAR Xfinity Series that have been having success, like Colleague Racing and Big Machine Racing.
Yes, and that new nose and that Camaro certainly helped them a lot on super speedways this year.
Yep, agreed. Agreed. But this race was crazy. This race was unbelievable. It was pretty insane because there was a caution and multiple cars started running out of fuel because they're going to go into NASCAR overtime. It was a fuel conservative race. And this is at Atlanta Motor Speedway. This isn't Las Vegas, folks. This is Atlanta Motor Speedway. A lot of drivers are having fuel issues, and you really consider a fuel-up mileage race at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And Stuart Haas Racing teammates Riley Herbst and Cole Custer were running second and seventh until their gas tanks ran out of fuel. And then Ryan Sieg, which I believe they have an alliance with, is it Stuart Haas Racing? And their car runs out of fuel. Ryan Sieg runs out of fuel and turns 3 and 4. A lot of fours just run out of fuel. And then we're coming down to overtime. Jesse Love is leading. And, like, from sixth on back, every car pits except one, which was Kyle Weatherman. And every car pits. So, all of a sudden, green flag is in the air. And every car except Austin Hill from that top six runs out of fuel.
And yeah, Austin, that was
remarkable. And Austin Hill was saving, and he stretched it that far, went the distance, and the commentators, I remember listening to Joey Logano and Brad Kiss last year, like, is Austin Hill going to run out of gas? Is he going to run out of gas? And from that burnout at the end of his victory, he had plenty of gas. he truly had plenty of gas.
Yeah. He might check the length of his fuel line.
but, I mean, it's unfortunate for Jesse Love. He's been so fast, Uncle Don, these past two races, and he led 157 laps and swept both stages. He truly had the best car all day long, him and Austin Hill for sure. But it's just, man, it's just like, He's got that monkey on his back and to start the season off. But I mean, he's been fast and dominant. It's kind of like what happened with Nick Sanchez in his debut season in the NASCAR Craftsman Trucks. There's multiple pole position awards, and he's dominating races, and he couldn't get the monkey off his back, and he couldn't win a NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race, and he won his first NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race at Daytona National Speedway on Friday. Last Friday.
And that's the same thing. You know, it's hard to conserve fuel when they're running that hard, being that aggressive.
And the thing, and the thing is, Uncle Don, when you're leading the pack, you are burning up the most fuel out of any driver on that racetrack.
Oh, yes.
So, well, it was a crazy race, Uncle Don. It truly was.
I didn't have that much inline racing yesterday. You know, it's almost always like 2x2 or 3x3 or
Uncle Don, when I, when I'm in college at Western Kentucky University, where we're going to have to plan something where, you know, either, you know, go to watch the Daytona 500 together. I actually come up to the track and we watch the Daytona 500, Atlanta, Bristol Motor Speedway. Geez, there's so many tracks. Talladega. I mean, Uncle Don, I'm truly close to a lot of racetracks. Charlotte Motor Speedway. I mean, we're going to have to plan some. We're going to have to go to Atlanta
one of these days to watch this great racing. I mean, you had the third closest finish in NASCAR Cup Series history at Atlanta Motor Speedway yesterday. So we're going to be planning something, Uncle Don. We're going to get on that.
But yes. You have to look it up.
You got to look it up. Nashville. I know, right. And Nashville.
Right. Kentucky Speedway.
Yeah, well, they're not racing at Kentucky anymore.
True.
Yeah, IndyCar or NASCAR. So, but yeah, unbelievable. But here's some more NASCAR news. I think we're going to take a quick break here, Uncle Don, and we'll come right back. The NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series results: Kyle Busch picks up his 65th win in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Finishing second was Ty Majeski, third Corey Heim, fourth Tanner Gray, I'm pretty sure, fifth Nick Sanchez, sixth, I think it's, is it Kenny Honeycutt or Carson Honeycutt? I don't know. Or Kyle Honeycutt. I'm not 100% sure on that name. Seventh Tyler Ankrum, eighth Rajah Carruth, ninth Daniel Dye, and tenth Dean Thompson. But Kyle Busch didn't even want to run this race in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series with Spire Motorsports last Saturday, which is funny.
Yeah. Well, he sold that team.
Yeah, he did.
He agreed to run, I think, six races.
Five races.
Five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is funny to me because he said, I did not want to run Atlanta. He said it. He was in a pre-race interview on NASCAR on Fox Sports 1, and they were interviewing him. He's like, yeah, I didn't really want to run this race, but, you know, I'm going to help my Spire teammates out. You know, I'm going to help Chase Purdy out, who previously raced for me at Kyle Busch Motorsports, all the Spire drivers out, give them some notes, give them some pointers, and have a good day at Atlanta Motor Speedway. And obviously, you know, as a NASCAR Cup Series driver racing in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series and the NASCAR Xfinity Series, you should expect yourself to win every race you go out there in the lower divisions of NASCAR.
You would think.
You would think that. That's the stereotype. That's the just the way us fans would think any time a NASCAR Cup driver would go and race in these lower divisions of NASCAR, they would go win and dominate.
Well, look at Mark Burton when he run Xfinity.
Yep, agreed. So, but yeah, Kyle Busch didn't even want to run this race, folks, and he still won. And he led 33 laps. He won the second stage, and I mean, Ty Majeski tried making a move, and I'm a big Thor Sport Racing fan. I was like, come on, Ty, make a move. Get up there. And he had no help. And basically, because lined up behind him were two Tricon Motorsports teammates with Corey Heim and either Tanner or Taylor Gray. I believe it was Tanner Gray. And Ty Majeski was just going to be a sitting duck if he, you know, tried to make a move against Kyle Busch, and he just was satisfied finishing second, which he really needed a good result because he didn't get the result he was hoping for at Daytona International Speedway last Friday. Sat on pole, but he got involved in a crash, and he was in the back of the field the majority of the day. So
it was nothing to be, you know, ashamed of, finishing second to a two-time Cup winner.
And it's not like he didn't try to make a move.
No.
For the win.
And he might be intimidated.
Yeah. It's not like he didn't try to make a move. It's just he didn't have a run, and he couldn't get around Kyle Busch. And Kyle Busch was just had that good of a truck, and he was out front, and he couldn't get around him because he was trying to get to his rear quarter panel on the outside, and Kyle Busch blocked his move trying to go to the bottom, and then he tried to go back up top. Majeski did, and
it didn't really work out.
Well, Blaney did an excellent job blocking for about four laps.
Yep. Yep. For sure. For sure. Well, Uncle Don, I think we're going to take a quick break here on the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. We'll take a 30-second break. When we come back, we're going to talk some IndyCar news, but you're listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on Indy's Giant 90.9.
I'm Nyheim Hines, professional football player. No matter the challenges I face every day in the NFL, my mom is always there for me, despite her own struggles with muscular dystrophy. And MDA is there for my mom. At their 150 care centers across the U.S., MDA is the leading organization in research and care for kids and adults with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and related neuromuscular diseases. Join me and learn more at helpmda.org today. Thank you.
Welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm joined by Don Wilson, a.k.a. Uncle Don. It is currently 8:37 a.m. on this Monday of February 26th. But, Uncle Don, are you ready to dive into some IndyCar news?
I've been keeping up with the driver changes, but we'll go ahead.
Well, this isn't going to pull your leg here. We've got some pretty chill news to start this IndyCar news part of the show. So,
oh, yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Well, IndyCar has decided to outlaw Joseph Newgarden's move, the what they call the Dragon move, down to the pit lane in the Indianapolis 500 to win Indianapolis 500 race. They're IndyCar's banning that move forever. There's no more dragon maneuvering around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Indianapolis 500.
Didn't know that.
Because these cars are, you know, so aerodynamic and they're so fast, and Joseph Newgarden's trying to break up the draft and break up the toe against Marcus Ericsson and last season's Indianapolis 500, and he's trying to win his first Indianapolis 500, and he's going all the way down to the pit lane, which at the time there was nothing in the rule book that said you couldn't do that. So he did it, and he won the Indianapolis 500 because of it, because he was dragging and maneuvering and trying to, you know, separate the draft between him and Marcus Ericsson. And he's weaving all over the front stretch, all the way down the pit road, back up to the start finish line.
Well, to me, it was a legal move then.
Yeah. So, this is just a rule that any car put in place, and this is for all drivers. No drivers can do this anymore. So.
Can't ride the wall in the NASCAR Cup race anymore.
Yeah, so it's what do you, Uncle Don? What are your thoughts? Do you think it's going to be more exciting for the fans because more cars going to be passing each other and there's not going to be as much, you know, drag and maneuvering, or is it going to be less exciting because, you know, of the drag and maneuver being banned from IndyCar?
I think Newgarden would have won anyway if he hadn't done that. I think he could have. So I'd rather have him not doing that. I think it could cause a big wreck.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if a driver's dragging maneuvering, I mean, if they hit that, you know, that wall to start of pit lane, that could end in serious injuries.
Especially up front, that kind
yeah,
of speed.
Yeah, and you're in a open wheel race car with no. I mean, other than the what they have around the themselves when they're racing. I forgot what it's called, Uncle Don. I'm blanking here, but it's
You know what I'm talking about, where it's kind of like that. It's protecting them, protecting the drivers. Formula One has it. It's basically it's in the cockpit, and it's separating the driver from, you know, it's kind of putting a barrier in between the driver, and if there's any, you know, thing on the track, if the driver gets in the wall, it's a thing in the cockpit now where it's a barrier for danger for these IndyCar and Formula One drivers. I believe they're called visor screens. I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure, but that doesn't sound right. But
there's not a lot of room between your head.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's put in place. So drivers just have to be careful. And I believe it's going to be more exciting racing in the Indianapolis 500 because now drivers can't drag and maneuver anymore. And there's going to be a lot more passing for position. Yep.
I think you're right.
And
people were, you know, got away from Indy cars because there wasn't any passing. Like Formula One, you know, there's hardly any passing in Formula One.
Yeah. Well, there's some more news for IndyCar that was released. The 2023 IndyCar Series TV schedule was released. So Sunday, March 10th, IndyCar will head to the streets of St. Petersburg. You can watch that on NBC or Peacock. That'll start at noon Eastern time. And then Sunday, March 24th, at the Thermal Club, which the Thermal Club is where IndyCar tests at in California. It's one of their testing spots. And that you can watch that on NBC or Peacock. That'll be at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. Then Sunday, April 21st, the streets of Long Beach. You can watch that on USA Network or Peacock. That'll be at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Sunday, April 28th from Barber Motorsports Park in Alabama. You can watch that on NBC or Peacock. The time is to be dated Eastern time. Then we're going to head to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the road course, Saturday, May 11th. You can watch this on NBC or Peacock, 3 p.m. Eastern time to start the month of May. Sunday, May 19th, Indianapolis 500 qualifying, watched on NBC or Peacock at 3 p.m. Sunday, May 26th, Uncle Don, my favorite event in the whole wide world when it comes to motorsports, the Indianapolis 500. Actually, Uncle Don, this is not right. This is actually... I'm reading the wrong. Hold on. This is 2023 IndyCar Series schedule. It says 2023. I guess I'm trying to. Nope, this is right. This is the right schedule. This is the right schedule. Sorry, everybody. I was blanking because it's 2024. But Sunday, May 26th, the greatest spectacle in racing returns to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500. You can watch this on NBC or Peacock. And the start time will be 11 a.m. Eastern time. And Uncle Don, I will not be at home watching that race. I will be at the racetrack watching the Indianapolis 500 and screaming and yelling and going crazy watching those cars go 200-plus miles an hour. So.
Yes.
And another thing is, this is Uncle Don, this is pretty odd. IndyCar hasn't had this in a very long time. I don't know if this has really ever happened in IndyCar, but the first oval race of the IndyCar season is the Indianapolis 500. They removed...
I think that's super speedway.
That'd be a big hazard, Uncle Don. That'd be a big hazard.
Well, they got so much downforce that they could stick to it.
They could race at Atlanta. They're going to put the cars at Atlanta.
Yeah,
that's what Connor Daly said. Connor Daly said, "What oval race would you like to have on the schedule?" And he said, "Let's go to Atlanta. Let's go to Atlanta." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, Connor!" imagine those cars in a pack and going around that track. Oh my gosh, they'll be flying. And if someone crashes, I'm sorry, there's going to be serious injuries,
and possibly death. But
I think once we get above 200, I don't know if you know the difference between 200 and 230.
But it's. What are your thoughts on IndyCar's first oval race being the Indianapolis 500?
I'd like to see more oval races on the circuit.
Exactly. Which Texas Motor Speedway was the first oval race of the IndyCar Series season, and they removed it. It was due to NASCAR scheduling. NASCAR is, you know, big when it comes to Texas Motor Speedway. They, I believe, how many races they have there? I think is it two races they have at Texas Motor Speedway in a year. So NASCAR is definitely providing a lot to Texas Motor Speedway. So is Texas Motor Speedway in a way as well. But that NASCAR money compared to that IndyCar money, only racing once a season, and NASCAR racing two times a season, you're going to take NASCAR.
Sure. But I think they usually had a pretty good crowd down there for the IndyCar race.
Yeah, they talked about these oval races not, you know, bringing a big crowd to these oval races, except the Indianapolis 500, of course. But I mean, it should be. It's the largest one-day sporting event in the United States of America. So, I mean, it should bring a big crowd, if you know.
So. I think maybe a little more backing on that track might help.
Moving on, to start the month of June, Sunday, June 2nd, from the streets of Detroit. You watch this on USA Network or Peacock. This will be noon Eastern time. Sunday, June 9th, from one of my tracks on my bucket list to go watch a IndyCar race is Road America in the great state of Wisconsin. NBC and Peacock can watch this on, and it'll start 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. Sunday, June 23rd, WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca, heading to California. You can watch this on at USA Network or Peacock, and that'll be at 6 p.m. And then starting the month of July, Sunday, July 7th, I've been to this racetrack. It's a pretty cool racetrack. If you're a fan of old-school type atmosphere when it comes to a motorsports race, Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, NBC or Peacock, you can watch that on, and it'll start 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. I'm really trying to make this happen, Uncle Don. I really am trying. I don't know if it's going to happen. For the IndyCar Series to head to Iowa for their doubleheader Saturday, July 13th, Iowa Speedway Race 1. You can watch this on NBC or Peacock at 8 o'clock p.m. So it'll be a night race, Uncle Don, at Iowa Speedway. Then Sunday, July 14th, Iowa Speedway Race 2, NBC or Peacock. I'll start at noon. Uncle Don, Iowa Speedway is really putting themselves on the map with IndyCar's doubleheader, and especially this night race, and then plus the NASCAR Cup Series making their debut at Iowa Speedway, and that race is already sold out.
Yes. Well, Middle Iowa, there's not much else to do.
Hey, racing, the Hawkeyes, Iowa State, I'm trying to think of their mascot. I'm currently blanking right now, but Iowa State Sports, and I'm trying to think of anything else. Corn, bunch of corn. The Field of Dreams. I believe the Chicago Cubs have a AAA team, the Iowa Cubs. Oh, the Iowa Wolves, I'm pretty sure. They're associated with the G League team with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I can't think of anything else. So, also, during those races, there will be concerts with Luke Combs, Post Malone, Eric Church, and there's another notable artist out there that I can't think of, and she's a pretty good artist. Then, Sunday, July 21st, they're heading to O Canada of the streets of Toronto. You can watch it on Peacock at 1 p.m. Eastern time. I'd like to go watch a race at Toronto. That'd be pretty awesome. Then Saturday, August 17th, the third oval race of the season. I mean, you count Iowa. Technically, it's the fourth oval race, but it's at a different track. So, you know, I'd say the fourth or third oval race. It didn't really matter. Worldwide Technology Raceway for the fourth oval race of the IndyCar Series season. USA Network or Peacock, you can watch that on at 6 p.m. Then Sunday, August 25th, heading to the Northwest to Portland International Raceway. You can watch this on USA Network or Peacock, and you can watch this at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Then back to the famous Milwaukee Mile. If you did not know, folks, this track is older than the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The return of Milwaukee. I'm so pumped about this, Uncle Don, and I'd love to watch a race at the Milwaukee Mile for a doubleheader Saturday, August 13th. And watch this on Peacock at 6 p.m., which will be a night race, so that should be pretty exciting. That's Sunday, September 1st, which this is Labor Day weekend, I'm pretty sure. I might be wrong. I might be blanking it here.
But you're right.
Milwaukee Mile, race number 2, USA Network or Peacock. You can watch this on, and it'll be at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Then to round out the NTT IndyCar Series season, the first time that an oval race has been the season finale in a very, very, very long time, Sunday, September 15th, IndyCar heads to Nashville Super Speedway. I'm so excited about this. Another oval is on the calendar. NBC or Peacock, you can watch this on and at 3 p.m. And I'm going to try to make this race because I'm only an hour away from the campus of Western Kentucky in Bowling Green, Kentucky. So it's going to be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to this race at Nashville Super Speedway for IndyCar. Moving on, more news involving Dale Coyne Racing. Dale Coyne Racing is set to test for the final preseason test of the year at Sebring International Raceway today and tomorrow with veteran driver Jack Harvey of the NTT IndyCar Series and IMSA champion Colin Braun to test their number 18 and number 51 Honda Indy cars. And yeah, Dale Coyne has also not made a decision on who their two drivers will be for the 2024 NTT IndyCar Series season. And Uncle Don, this IndyCar Series season opener is coming right around the corner, March 8th through the 10th. So, Dale Coyne Racing's definitely going to have to get on their high horse and make those driver announcements. What was your question, Uncle Don?
I was going to ask you what you thought about Larson running the 500.
Oh, I think he can win the Indianapolis 500 this year, Uncle Don. I have it in my heart and soul, in my mind. I already have it. My mind made up that Kyle Larson can win the 2024 Indianapolis 500, 108th running.
The equipment he's got, he's capable.
Oh, yeah. Arrow McLaren. I mean, it's not like you have the 100th running Indianapolis 500, 2016 winner, and Alexander Rossi driving for Arrow McLaren, and youngster Paddle Award, who I believe can be a future champion in the NTT IndyCar Series, and youngster David Malukas, who I believe can win multiple races and be successful in the NTT IndyCar Series. So, I mean, great. I mean, you're driving for McLaren. you are driving for McLaren. It's a famous brand. It's not like they have the second most championships in Formula One history behind Ferrari, but you know what I mean? Kyle Larson's, he deserves this opportunity, and Zach Brown and that whole Arrow McLaren group are going to do a great job. They're going to do a great job, and hopefully they will have success in this year's Indianapolis 500. I was at the race last season. I saw Pato O'Ward crash out. He was doing real well, and him and Marcus Ericsson made contact. And I was cheering for him. I was cheering for Newgarden as well. And Felix Rosenquist was up there until he crashed out. Alexander Rossi didn't really have the fastest car, competitive car compared to Rosenquist or Award, and Tony Kanaan didn't really have a competitive car either. But I think Kyle Larson really has a shot, Uncle Don.
Yes, he could be the next AJ Foyt.
Yeah, he'd become the first NASCAR driver in history to win the Indianapolis 500. Would be Kyle Larson. It's never happened before. The closest was Donnie Allison. Was the closest driver to winning the Indianapolis 500 when it comes to finishing positions. Tony Stewart came close multiple years. The 1996 Indianapolis 500, he absolutely dominated until he had car issues. So.
Yes. Well, since Tony, Gordon could have done it if he had a shot at it.
Yep, agreed. Agreed. This is from theracer.com. Author is Marshall Pruitt. This is what they're expecting, that Jack Harvey will be driving the number 18 Dale Coyne Racing Honda at St. Petersburg in the coming weeks to start the IndyCar Series season. This is just the racer predictions. And then the outcome of Colin Braun's test will determine if he's going to be racing full-time with Dale Coyne Racing in this upcoming IndyCar Series season. So just really depending on that, if he does really well. That's the racers' predictions. Colin Braun, he's a three-time IMSA WeatherTech sports car champion and a three-time winner of the Rolex 24. So he's pretty good. He was teammates with Tom Blomqvist, who will be driving for Meyer Shank Racing in the number 60 Honda in the IndyCar Series. So, I mean, he's pretty good. Colin Braun's pretty good, Uncle Don. So,
yeah.
I mean, three-time IMSA WeatherTech sports car champion and three-time winner of the Rolex 24. And he... I mean, he's tested an IndyCar, I believe, before. Braun's speed and consistency along Blomqvist, the 2022 IMSA DPI champion, who was signed by Meyer Shank Racing to drive this season in IndyCar. I'm just reading quote by quote here from Marshall Pruitt and the racer. Often equaled or exceeded his teammate and led to at least one other IndyCar team taking a look at Colin Braun. So... that's awesome. Congratulations. And then you have other drivers that Dale Coyne Racing is looking at to possibly drive for them this coming season. Catherine Legg, Indy Next title challenger Nolan Siegel, and former AJ Foyt racing driver Benjamin Peterson was also mentioned to maybe drive one of the two cars at Dale Coyne Racing. Excuse me. More news here. We're going to dive into Formula One news here. This is the results of Formula One testing at Bahrain. And this is the results. First was Carlos Sainz for Ferrari. Second, Charles Leclerc for Ferrari. Third, George Russell for Mercedes. Fourth was Guan Yu Zhou for Sauber. Then you have fifth, Sergio Perez. Sixth, Max Verstappen with Red Bull Racing. Both drivers at Red Bull. They also have that partnership with Ford, which will be coming in the next few years. Seventh, Yuki Tsunoda for Cash App, Visa. I don't even know. It's a very long name. Eighth, Alexander Albon for Williams. Eighth, Oscar Piastri for McLaren. Tenth, Lewis Hamilton for Mercedes to make his final season at Mercedes before he moves on to Ferrari, which I'm very excited about. This driver change with Lewis Hamilton going over to Ferrari to race in the red car and hopefully can lead Ferrari back to their winning ways and win their first championship since Kimi Räikkönen in 2007. It's been a very, very long time since Ferrari's won a Formula One championship. They've won plenty of races, but they've had no championships to add to that trophy case in a very long time, more than a decade. 11th, Fernando Alonso. 12th, Lando Norris with McLaren. Fernando Alonso also drives for Aston Martin. 13th, Daniel Ricciardo. 14th, Nico Hülkenberg for Haas. 15th, Lance Stroll for Aston Martin. 16th, Esteban Ocon for Alpine. 17th, Pierre Gasly for Alpine. 18th, Valtteri Bottas for Sauber. 19th, Logan Sargeant for Williams. And 20th, Kevin Magnussen for Haas. And that's going to round out the testing results from Bahrain. And some more IndyCar news, that Andretti Global has released their 2024 car liveries for the season. Driving the number 26 car, sponsored by Gainbridge, will be Colton Herta. The number 27 AutoNation Honda will be driven by Kyle Kirkwood. And then the number 28 Delaware Life's Honda will be driven by Marcus Ericsson. So those liveries were released on Saturday, February 24th. And we're going to round out the show, Uncle Don here. And we have the upcoming races for NASCAR. The NASCAR Craftsman Trucks will be heading to Las Vegas Motor Speedway. You can watch this Friday, March 1st at 9 o'clock p.m. You can watch this on Fox Sports 1. And then the NASCAR Xfinity Series race at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, Saturday, March 2nd at 5 o'clock p.m. You can watch that on Fox Sports 1. And then the NASCAR Cup Series will be racing at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, which I believe it'll be this Sunday. I'm trying to think of the start times. I am so sorry, everybody. The start times for the NASCAR Cup Series.
I think it's like 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I think it should be 3 o'clock or somewhere around there. I had it, everything pulled up and ready to go. I guess I went too far into the schedule here, but yeah, it'll probably be around, I'd probably say 3 o'clock or so for the NASCAR Cup Series race at Las Vegas Motor Speed. And watch that on Fox. So thank you, Uncle Don, for saving me there, because I really needed that. So
I enjoyed listening to you.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Uncle Don, I just want to get your predictions here. Who is going to win the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race at Las Vegas Motor Speedway this coming Friday?
It's hard to count out who came in second.
Well, Ty Majeski did. He's had speed. He's pretty good. BMR Racing car trucks, I should say, have been very fast as well, and they've been doing very well. This with Daniel Dye. You've had Christian Eckes. They've been doing very well. Spire's been doing pretty well with Rajah Carruth. I mean, you have your Truck Series veterans like Ben Rhodes, Ty Majeski, a bunch of drivers. Corey Heim as well.
So they're all coming out pretty aggressive this year in all three divisions.
Yeah, agreed.
So, who knows what'll happen Sunday.
Yep. I'd like to see one of those Thor Sport trucks get to victory lane. I'd love to see that. I truly would love to see Ty Majeski or Ben Rhodes get to victory lane. It'd be really great. Or Matt Crafton. Matt Crafton hasn't won a very, very long time. So, NASCAR's Xfinity Series race prediction, Uncle Don, for Saturday. Do you have one?
Well, I don't know which, I don't know if any cup driver's going to be in it.
I mean, AJ Allmendinger is going to be racing. I mean, he's racing full-time NASCAR Xfinity Series. You can't really count him out. He's won at Las Vegas before. Austin Hill's also won at Las Vegas. I'd like to see Jesse Love pick up his first win of the season. That'd be pretty amazing.
I'd like to see Love win a race this year.
Exactly. Then The NASCAR Cup Series from Las Vegas Motor Speedway this Sunday, March 3rd. Who is your prediction to win at Las Vegas?
I think one of the Penske cars.
You think Penske cars?
Yeah, I like to see Stewart Haas win.
Uncle Don, yesterday I was watching the NASCAR Cup Series race at Atlanta, and Nina called me. She called me and she said, "Do you know what happened to Chase Briscoe? Did you watch him?" "Yes, Nina, I saw he crashed. I saw he crashed out." And
he made a silly move.
I don't think it was his fault. He got tapped from Denny Hamlin. He went around. He kind of got squeezed in a four-wide situation. And they were three wide, and he got turned around, which was unfortunate. He really had a fast hot rod that entire race.
Yes, he did. And he still finished 10.
He finished? I thought he crashed out.
Well, I thought he got back on the track.
No, he didn't finish. He might have finished, but he didn't finish in the top 10. I know he crashed out. I thought he crashed out.
Okay.
But he might have finished.
He showed some speed, though.
Yeah, that's probably the best Stewart Haas Racing has looked at restrictor plates in a very long time. especially if you compare Daytona and Talladega to Atlanta. Atlanta's a lot different compared to Talladega and Daytona when it comes to restrictor plates. But all three tracks are very unique, and they have one thing in common, it's a restrictor plate, and they go very fast. But Atlanta's very different, especially with the corner banking and the straightaway speed. It's pretty crazy that high line could get such a huge run, and that inside line, you can't really keep up with them.
No. You get the manufacturers in line.
Yeah.
Fords are pretty good about lining up their Fords.
Yeah, if everyone's lined up, the inside line has a shot, but the inside line is just not the preferred line at Atlanta. And I'd also like to mention the speed limit from, going into turn number 3 and you're exiting to get on a pit road and you're going 90 miles an hour and then you got to get to 45. That has to change. That has to change. NASCAR has to do a better job at that. Because that seems like a big hazard from going 90 miles an hour and then you need to downshift 2 times to 45. I think they need to start at 1 speed limit, and I don't know, because I guess you can try to come off turn number 4, but it's kind of hard. And I guess the best place to come to pit road is the back straightaway. But going from 90 to 45, that's half the speed there.
And you have a different speed depending on whether you're pitting under green.
Yeah, and then you also have those different lines. You have those different lines that say you need to go 90 and you have to go 45.
Look how many crashes they had yesterday on pit road.
Exactly. And the pit lane is so tight, Uncle Don. It truly is so tight exiting and entering pit road. It is so tight, especially exiting. It is like driving on 465, Uncle Don. That's how tight it is.
All you can see is the back bumper car in front of you.
Exactly.
Back window. You can't see anything in front of him.
But, yeah. So, prediction to win. Your prediction to win is a Penske car. So, are you going any Penske car? Are you going to go Logano? Or are you going to go Blaney? Or are you going to go Cindric?
I think as aggressive as Cindric's been driving, he's got a good shot.
True.
But you got the experience in Logano.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of my prediction to win. I'd like to see Kyle Busch get to victory lane. I'd love to see one of the Stewart Haas guys get to victory lane. It'd be great. I have a feeling, that a Toyota is going to win at Las Vegas. I have a feeling it's going to be Martin Truex or Denny Hamlin, one of those guys.
Hamlin.
Yeah, one of those guys will get it done. And, I'm really, really trying. One of the Hendrick cars as well. Kyle Larson's won at Las Vegas. Christopher Bell's also pretty good at Las Vegas as well. William Byron, I believe, has won at Las Vegas. So, Chase Elliott, I'd love to see Chase Elliott rebound and get back to victory lane. It's been a rough end of 2023 for Chase Elliott and a rough start to 2024 in the NASCAR Cup Series for Chase Elliott. Lady Luck has not been on his side for a while now.
No, last year was a disaster.
Yep. Well, Uncle Don, I think it's going to close the show out, sir. I'd like to thank you for being on the show. Don Wilson, a.k.a. Uncle Don, coming in the clutch to help Big Nelly out on a show today for the All Gas and No Brakes Race Show. Sir, it is always a pleasure to talk to you about racing. I love you, and you're just great to have on the show.
Love you, too, and doing a great job.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. Love you, Uncle Don. And that's going to wrap it up for the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show here today. And how about we just cue out that outro? Let's just cue that outro out, people. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, if you miss a live episode of the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show, that's okay because you can tune in every Monday morning from 7:45 to 8:30 a.m. here on the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show, and go to audioboom.com to listen to episodes you may have missed. This is Landon Nelson signing out. I want to thank Uncle Don for being a part of the show today. It was truly a pleasure to have him on. Big Nelly is out. Have a great Monday, everybody.